The following episode of How Did This Get Made is sponsored by LegalZoom. They're helping keep the show free. If you go to LegalZoom.com and enter the code EARWOLF, you'll get a discount and 100% of what you spend there comes directly back to the show. LegalZoom is the best place to help with your legal needs. They're not a law firm, but they provide self-help services at your direction. For more information on how to support this show and the rest of the EARWOLF podcast network, go to EARWOLF.com/insider.
Green Lantern, America's 25th favorite superhero. They made a movie of it. We saw it, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Scheer. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas and June Diane Raphael. How are you doing, guys?
What's up?
And we have a very special guest today to talk about the movie The Green Lantern. You've seen him in movies like Inglourious Basterds, seen his videos on Funny or Die. Please welcome Paul Rust.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Hello,
hi, Paul.
Hi.
So we all saw this movie last night. If you don't know anything about Green Lantern, basically there's an airline pilot or jet fighter gets a ring from an alien. And then he becomes a space cop. I mean, that's the basic gist of it, right?
Yeah.
But man, I was confused for moment one.
I am familiar with this comic book, and I was confused. I was like, "What the fuck is happening?"
So, in the comic book, is he not a pilot, or
well, he is a pilot?
But the opening monologue was like, in the year 2005, there was 49 planets. Everyone was divided into 3,000 sectors. Yeah. Each sector has two guards.
Comically long. I mean, that was like a 10-minute monologue.
And it was so dense and so confusing.
Oh, it's like if somebody who was a fan of the comic books like sat you down with their onion breath and talked at you for like 10 minutes about what they liked about the comic.
And no images to really like. There was nothing visually engaging.
Why would
there
be? A bad planetary.
It's not a visual medium. I'm sorry.
It was like a bad planetarium show that made no sense. You're going through the universe and it's like you're not seeing anything cool or funny. You're just hearing an information download and it's just a lot of numbers.
But it was that part. It started so instantaneously terrible. Wow.
Wow. Turn our cell phones off.
Wow. That was the United Talent Agency.
Ryan Reynolds is already upset.
It's not a big deal.
We know that you're talking about Green Lantern. Cease and desist.
But this movie takes place in Sector 2318.
We know!
Which is one of the planets that Earth is in. One of the thousand.
That's like
planets.
Saying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. We just know the White House.
Everyone knows 2318.
Everyone knows what Sector Earth is in, guys.
And let's talk about the main villain of this movie is a cloud that looks like a rejected villain from The Mummy.
From The Mummy Ride.
It is a cloud with teeth. It is a cloud with teeth that does no chewing.
No.
It sucks people's souls out.
What? No,
so why give it teeth?
And it sucks people's ghost skeletons.
Yeah.
That was really bothering me.
Yeah.
He sucks their soul out, and then a skeleton is also sucked out, as if a skeleton has a ghost too. That makes no sense to me. He eats the souls. He eats people's fear.
Oh, he's the Indian.
It's like so weird. It was getting really heady, though, too, because it was like he eats people's fear, but he is fear, but he is your fear and my fear.
And if you have fear, it's attractive to him.
He
feasts on your fear.
And he was in the Lost Quadrant, but he's coming back. So first of all, will we meet the...
The guys. I fucking hated this movie.
Yeah.
Tell me, as a fan of the Green Lantern,
are you a fan of the Green Lantern?
I'm a comic book fan. Green Lantern, I know not super well. It's not one of my like I love books.
What did you know going in? I
know the story of Hal Jordan and getting the ring, and you know, like the kind that general like origin story.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great kind of comic, couple of books that detail that kind of series of events that are pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it does not involve going to like Oa the Living Planet and
Planet, which is where all the lanterns hang out.
Yes, exactly.
Looks like the worst Star Wars universe. It's like one of the rejected cities from Phantom Menace. It's like just long poles and yeah. like nothing yeah. that makes any, you know, like spider like buildings. It looks so like inconceivable and weird.
This was some of the worst like green screen garbage.
Oh yeah, they didn't seen. Like whatever. This is a little too critical, but they like didn't like live in the actual space. No. It would just sort of them be in a platform, and in the background yeah. were other things.
Yeah, they were always on the most bland plank.
Yeah,
and then there's crazy shit yeah. going on.
But you Mortal were never Kombat. It was yeah. like the setting for a Mortal Kombat.
It was like a shitty video game. Or you're right, Paul. It literally felt like the worst of the Star Wars prequels.
It was like someone's like, ah, CGI is real good. We'll put a lot of CGI in and people will really like it.
And they'll be able to fly, and they'll create like guns and shit. And like when the rings are activated, they can like think of like, oh, you could create like a brick wall.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. The Green Lantern, whatever he thinks of, he can create. He created the most boring things.
And, like, old-timey things.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's the other thing, too. It's, like, supposed to be taking place in modern-day sure. times, but it just felt so
The Green Lantern. He creates a race car that looks like something out of, like, a picture of, like, Le Mans.
How fucked up was that scene where the helicopter is going to crash for, like, 45 seconds, the helicopter is like spinning 5 feet above ground, about to crash.
Basically, this is a critical moment in the movie because Hal Jordan gets the ring, decides he doesn't want it, and there is a party going on. And who is it? Who is it? Tim Robbins?
Yeah.
Tim Robbins,
who's playing Peter Sarsgaard's father, and if those two people aren't the exact same age.
By the
I don't
way,
understand.
Peter Sarsgaard's supposed to have like come up with Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. Like they're all supposed to be the same age.
Yeah. Yeah. And their ages clearly to me. Blake Lively's what? Early 20s?
She's like 18 years old.
She's on Gossip Girl.
She's a Gossip Girl.
She's on Gossip Girl. And like Peter Sarsgaard, I think is 52.
Yeah.
Tim Robbins had it when he was 10 years old.
No sort of sense.
I was like,
no
what
sort
the
of
fuck?
Sense.
So the helicopter is going down because with a villain shoots a beer out of like a beer tap. He rigs it so it shoots up, hits one of the helicopter things. The helicopter's out of control at this very small party.
Well, because Peter Sarsgaard can also... Well, actually, this is a question I want to pose to my fellow lanterns. Okay. Okay. Was Peter Sarsgaard able to actually listen to what other people were thinking?
Yes.
Or was it his fear that they were thinking negative thoughts?
Oh, wow.
No. He could hear it.
He could actually hear their negative thoughts.
And he had, like, telekinesis.
He plays Hector Hammond, who is kind of poisoned by an alien, and he gets superpowers, kind of like the Green Lantern. Here's my problem with that Hector Hammond character. He can read people's thoughts, but then when he hits on Blake Lively, she's clearly creeped out by him, but he's not reading any of her thoughts, like, ooh, you're creepy, you're creepy. But meanwhile, everyone else is like, you idiot, you stupid head,
you freak,
I know what you're thinking about
even
me.
Even when talking to her, he's an extreme form of self-denial. He won't even listen to what she's saying.
Did anybody else have a problem with both him and Ryan Reynolds would vacillate between these insane set pieces where they would be like, poisoned by aliens or given alien powers, go to alien planets, and then they would just go home?
Yes!
Everybody, like Hector Hammond, like crashes the helicopter. He's like an evil genius. He can read people's thoughts. Like he's trying to destroy the world, and then he just goes home and lies in bed.
Yeah. Goes like, back to his...
They needed to decompress.
Why does everybody go home?
Hector Hammond kills his father, brutalizes Angela Bassett, destroys a science facility, goes home.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
guess what? So does Hal Jordan. They go home.
They need to crash.
The villain and enemy, or the villain and the hero, both go back to their apartment.
Yeah. I gotta say,
they
that's
both
why
know
I think
each
all
other
the time. They
all
go
the
to their
time.
Apartments
that's why the
all
pace
the
of
time.
The movie felt so strange.
It was
because
so
it was
weird.
So, like,
yeah.
There were often times where I would be looking at shots and just thinking, like, what is this shit I'm looking at? Honestly, that question, what is this shit I'm looking at, popped in my brain like 15 to 20. Because there'd just be shots of two people, like, floating across the sky and landing, and you'd be like, why am I watching this shit?
Okay, well, we haven't even talked about the love relationship between Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively. I have a clip that I'd like to play that kind of shows you the dialogue. In my mind, the dialogue feels like it was written by an 11-year-old, so here you go.
Hey, Carol. It's gonna maybe do a little flying today. What do you think?
I think you're late.
Yes, but that's only because I slept in.
I used to sleep in, then I turned 11. Let me give you a little heads up. I've gone up against these Sabres all week, and they have smoked me every time. There isn't anything you can do that they can't do better, faster, and without disappointing women everywhere.
I think we both know that's not true.
This is exactly why I didn't want you for this. My father did. I would have gone with Jensen.
I'd have gone with Jensen too, but unfortunately Jensen, he's busy, not being good enough.
At least he shows up. Hal, this test today, it's important.
Oh, I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
So my question to you, Jason, is was the Hal Jordan in the comics as much of a quipster?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that relationship is actually kind of awesome the Darwyn Cook comic book that I'm thinking of is pretty fantastic.
Right.
The relationship between those two people. Does she, anybody else feel like she is constantly trying to talk like a man? I feel like she's like...
reverse Tootsie.
It's like, really? Really flat delivery. Hal, that's why I didn't want you for this. What? I didn't want you for this. I should have gone with Jensen. Everything she delivered was flat and manly sounding.
Because she's important in this movie. She's not a flighty girl. She is.
She also had
But here's the weird thing,
though,
about that.
Her mouth was always open as
well. Well, that's a very, like...
And her lips were always wet. She had the wettest lips all over. Like, no,
it seems like a contradiction, right? How could her mouth be open and her lips be wet?
I felt like every last looks on this movie, like, last looks, and they would come and they would just slather
chicken grease,
slather wetness around her mouth, and then shoot it. I literally wrote down in my notes thing: this movie brought to you by LG phones and lip wetness.
Too that her whole like point of view is that she is not only a pilot but also a business person, and that if you you could just be a pilot, but you need to be a pilot and a business person. It's like, do you?
Yeah,
I don't know that you do.
By the way, she works for an airplane facility called Ferris Airplanes, and it seems like the news is constantly covering what is going on. It's like there was a crash. Oh, yeah. There's a crash during a test flight. The news are right on the scene. It's like the news is reporting like there's a party at Ferris Airlines. Oh. Like what kind of local news is covering this, like, this weird aeronautics company in the middle of nowhere?
And they only build jets for the government, so they would, of course, allow maximum media access at all times, right?
Two, they were building the most advanced drone of all time. Oh, and what not only was Ryan Reynolds a quipster, but I felt like everyone was quipping. Oh, everyone had its thing.
Was saying this movie felt dated. I felt like it felt dated like 1996, like the amount of like sort of ironic detachment everybody had to like. It felt like a Scream movie or something. I wanted one person through the entire movie just to be like, hey, I care about what's going on here.
He finds a dead alien. He's sucked away by a green ball of light 100 miles to find a dead alien in the field. He's like, okay, purple alien. Weird.
He's like,
fuck?
Don't worry, man. We're going to get you to a hospital that has purple blood.
Loved it. That's line.
That shit was... He was terrible.
Yeah.
And she was garbage. And their chemistry was like Canadian.
Because here's the
thing. They had no chemistry at all.
What about when they danced to that song? Dum doobie
Gun, subpar, like...
Oh, the worst, though, was when they talked about having flown together before.
Oh, yeah. They
had a previous...
Did you understand what that meant?
No. Yeah,
they had sex. Flying was a metaphor for sex.
They had sex while they were flying. Their two planes were flying together, and they were all having
we
sex.
We flew together, and then you flew with a lot of other people.
Whatever happened to that girl who was in the bed in the beginning of the first scene?
When they cut to her, water in the tap.
When they cut to her, her face is so funny. Just like bright eyed.
I would love to make a movie that's just about that woman.
She's still leaving, something
like,
in that bed.
What the rest of her day was like.
He never called her back.
I want that woman and the woman in Iron Man that Tony Stark has sex with in the beginning just to have like these lives. Like, that's
yeah,
with
those
these
poor
guys.
Those poor women at the beginning of every movie who have to be the guy's like beginning arc point.
Yeah.
They're like the same as like when a guy goes out and he's got parking tickets all over his windshield. Like, oh, this guy's gotta get his life.
Well, they totally overdid it with him like driving recklessly. Like he could park in parking spots. He just chose not to.
He's driving so recklessly to make this late test flight, and he's wrapping a gift at the same time, which I realized later, he didn't need to wrap that gift because the party was way later in the day. Because the party wasn't headed there.
He's not a procrastinator. He's just rushes things.
He's wrapping a gift with no hand. He's not driving with any hands. Speeding around cars.
Yeah,
that was the worst opening.
I don't know if this was in the comic book, Jason, but that scene where they flash back to the dad.
No, I don't.
That wasn't in the comic book.
I don't remember that.
That was brutal.
So
dad survived the crash and they made eye contact. Wait a second. Then the plane blew up.
That's terrible.
Okay, see,
that was so.
Oh my
we
god!
We both gasped. We were sitting there. We
this
both
is
gasped.
Horrible.
This is
I love that. That's what you think was brutal. You didn't think the dad throwing young Hal Jordan his leather coat and saying "Keep it warm for me" was brutal? Because
not a
that was the worst. Keep it warm.
Not
for
enough.
Me.
I thought not enough foreshadowing that dad was gonna die. Hal Jordan is in a spin. He's going down. He goes into this intense flashback where he. And now I didn't even understand what that meant. Like, why did he, like, so they were trying to say, like, he was froze. Afraid, he was freezing, he was having a flashback, that's why he froze?
Yeah, he let fear in, man.
Yeah, he let fear
his
in.
His fear was of his dad who blew up in a...
Well, fear, I guess he was scared that he'd turn out the same way.
I guess so, guys.
But this movie did become, like, a self-help book by the end of it.
Totally. Every character had major daddy issues.
Embrace your green.
It was all about will and fear and daddy didn't love me and daddy doesn't like me and I don't have a daddy.
But just the explosion, like, when that happened, like, I was maybe sounding a little too old fogey-ish, but, like, our movies just, like, they're so brutal in their, like, attempts to surprise you in things.
God.
Even, like a comic book movie, like, that's for kids, like, The Green Lantern, you're constantly seeing, like, fathers explode before their child's eyes.
Yes, while they're locked in, like, intense eye contact.
Like the dad's going to survive.
That's
the plane lands,
upsetting.
And then the kid is running to the plane, and the dad, makes eye contact with him, and then explodes.
I had the same experience in Transformers 3, where the robots, instead of just fighting, rip each other's neck and spine out. Their robot neck and spine. It's like, you don't need to do that. Like, this is a movie for children.
Wait,
and
then
they rip off my head and spine.
But why do they have robotic analogs to our biological? Why do they have spines?
Robots do not have spines.
I also was like, where are the moms in this world?
In the Transformers
world? Well, no.
Well, there was one
Green Lantern
world.
The one mom who, when Hal Jordan was wrapping that gift for his nephew, who we never saw again.
And who were all those men there? His brothers? There was like five different men his age
knows?
There.
Okay.
Those men were
that
like,
scene
oh,
made
you,
no
crashed
sense.
You crashed that plane, you have to live so dangerously, Hal.
What, are you trying to be just like him so much that you want to die in a plane crash, Hal?
You know what, John?
Why don't you relax, John?
I'm going to go see my nephew, and his nephew's in bed crying on his birthday. And
he's scared for his Uncle Hal.
I love those, like, one-off characters. Like, that nephew's only there to function so we don't think this Ryan Reynolds character is, like, a huge asshole.
He gave a piece of shit to his nephew, but then he never comes back. He gives the worst thing. He's like, he gave his nephew a birthday gift, and the kid opens it, and it's like a little airplane. He goes, what's this, a starfighter? No, it's a fucking airplane, dummy.
A pilot, this, like, grown man, a pilot, is giving a plane to his nephew. It's like... So apparently this gift is all about you.
Yeah.
And like your job, and you're reminding your nephew what your job is.
And then he goes over to the nephew's room, takes down a plane that is hanging.
Looks exactly
and replaces it with an identical one. It's like, take down your shitty one. I'll give you this one.
This is the better one.
And then he leaves. He doesn't even hang out.
Oh, he's out of there.
He's gone.
And you never see him again.
He's out of there.
I also love that the nerd that worked at the airplane place was only a nerd because of those glasses. Like, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Like... And the best part, Paul, we laugh so hard at this, when Ryan Reynolds turns into the Green Lantern in front of him.
For the first time.
For the first time as a transformation, he just yells out, green!
Green! That's what he yells out.
Green!
Green!
Was that not the craziest, weirdest sex scene? Where he's like, show me.
Show it to me.
And the guy's the nerd guy is like, show it to me. You gotta show me.
Yep.
And he's like, okay, you wanna see this? It was like... Total.
It was very strange.
If you
all the dialogue,
I'm not ready.
All
open
the dialogue might
cheeks.
As well have been like,
yes.
and then he's like, like Ryan Reynolds poses, like stands up in front of him in like a tank top and sweatpants, and just starts posing like he's going to turn into the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And the guy's just watching him from the couch. It is the perviest,
super really
weirdest thing.
I also
in the world.
Had an issue with those sweatpants he was wearing for some reason.
Me too.
Just walking around.
They were strangely obscene.
I know you're not a hero right there in that moment.
Yeah.
But try to act.
Put
like
on
one.
Some slack.
He's not
at least
some
swishies.
My favorite line, I think, from that scene is, Dude, you're a superhero, yeah. Don't they always get the girl?
Yeah.
The guy says, don't they always get the girl?
Can I say that after we went to this, I think we saw it around 8, I came back later for a midnight screening, and I got mixed up, and because I thought I hadn't left, I walked back into the same Green Lantern screening, and when I walked in, it was the line, don't they usually get the girls? Like, ah, terrible!
And that was the exit line.
Twice in a day, I have to hear this line.
And that was the exit line of that scene. It was like, don't they always get the girl? Next scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, so at one point, Hal Jordan is making, like, he's making amends with Blake Lively, and he makes her necklace. He's like, I can do things like this. And she gets, like, a little Green Lantern necklace. That's the worst gift, because won't that just immediately disappear?
And like, it does. Yeah. At the end of the scene, it's gone.
So, like, he could give her a gift for a second.
Right.
Yeah. She's like, happy birthday. I'm sorry I forgot.
That's like the head of, like, you know, Chrysler, giving a Chrysler to his wife.
But
like, oh, thanks, this thing that you have easy access to.
But also, it would be like having a Chrysler and then getting in it and driving off in it. And going, this is yours. I'll see you later. You'll like never drive this
it
car.
It comes with me.
Yeah. I travel
like
in this.
They fought about the same issue, broke up, and got back together like 10 times in this movie.
That was kind of the whole problem with the movie, right? It was like scenes would address the problem, and then they'd go back home, and then they'd think about, like, wait, that didn't really get resolved.
They'd lie down for a little while.
Maybe I should go back to Oh, the Living Planet and talk to those guys.
I will tell you that no matter what, through it all, Blake Lively thought his jokes were really funny.
Well, they were.
You know, that was her genuinely breaking and seeing.
Oh, my God. There was.
Question though, I was confused about how we're using the word lanterns, because there was an actual lantern, but then also people were referred to as lanterns.
Yes.
Well,
okay. So he was a lantern.
Yes.
It seemed like the lantern was not of. No one carried the lanterns with them. They all seemed to leave the lantern. Well, we only know from Hal Jordan. He left that lantern in his apartment, and occasionally he would need to recharge. But not during any of the giant fight scenes.
Just when he was showing off in front of friends.
Right.
Oh, that's right. So means all those people have lanterns back at their house?
Yes.
I guess. Like power stations.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
They do.
It's like a Prius.
So that's a thing. So they never carry the lanterns with them when they're out.
It's so old-timey, too.
It is so. Isn't that such a weird.
If they went out, is there like a sort of coat check room for lanterns so you don't have to carry them around out into clubs?
Well, when they were all on the planet, they go to the planet and they all have this like little speech. It's like, it makes a Matrix Revolution speech kind of like pale and compared. So it's like, you know, this Sinestro is standing on this big platform that is also just a big lantern signal. And he's like, we are the best! We are lanterns! And then everyone shoots their ring lights up. And they're all shooting. And then they cut to an exterior of the planet. And this is my big problem with that moment. You look at the planet, you're seeing a circle, and light is shooting out of 4 different parts.
I was going to say this.
So my question is, are there 4 separate paintings that are going on when that's happening? Because it should only be out of one center area.
I was like, what are those side meetings going on? Why couldn't they get there? Didn't they coordinate?
They're on screens. They're watching Sinestro on a screen.
Pay-per-view.
It was so bizarre. It makes no sense. They all shoot it up, and then you see the planet. It's like 4...
Maybe it was like WrestleMania 3 when they had it in 5 different cities across America.
And then when they go to Oa, of course, even though they're aliens and they're fish people and rock people and fly people, some of them have the black voice. There is the black guy character.
Oh, sure.
Hey, man, so you ain't a good fighter.
Humans, you sure smell funny.
And
I was like, oh, really? There's a black guy here? Great.
Oh, black people are rock people. Okay, great. I got it.
Yep, got it. Tough looking alien is the black guy.
Hey, but guys, remember, he helped our white character, though. So it was okay.
He taught him how to fight.
I'll teach him real good.
He made him a better white person.
And when he first gets brought to Oa, he is floating naked, except for a very small underwear. It was so crazy, weird. Like, he gets brought to Oa fully clothed.
Yeah.
Then they rip off all of his clothes, but they leave, like, a swatch
some
of
briefs.
Underwear on. Yeah, just some briefs.
Yeah. My mom was always hilarious growing up. We'd watch a scene where, like, you know, a couple would get, it's an action movie, and a couple gets dumped out of a boat or something into the water. She would always complain about how the women had to get down in their underwear, but we never got to see the men in their underwear.
We need your mom on this podcast.
She is a huge Van Wilder fan.
I do want to talk back to this, because we really didn't even do justice to the helicopter scene, which is, the helicopter scene is insane. So basically, Hal Jordan rejects the lanterns, and then this helicopter is about to crash.
Why does he quit? Why does he quit? And when he quits, nobody's like, well, give us the fucking most powerful ring back.
And our lantern, he's like, please.
Yeah. He's like, I quit, and I get to keep all this power.
Right? Cool. Yeah. No one comes to collect him. You know, it's like... So he decides that he's going to get back in when the helicopter's crashing. Mm-hmm. And his solution for stopping a helicopter from crashing is to form a car around the helicopter chassis and then create a racetrack in circles all around the party. So the helicopter is racing on a car.
And what would you propose?
I mean, you guys just
a trampoline.
But it was my favorite part of the whole movie.
It was actually my favorite part.
Went on that racetrack.
That shit made no sense.
And the car was like jumping because he could create.
It was like a hot rod.
Yeah.
It was
like. Rrr, rrr. I was like, why not just create the helicopter onto the floor, onto the ground rather.
Just make a floor. Just like, make a landing pad up there.
Just like create a balloon, like a pillow for it to land on.
Can you make a floor?
Oh my God.
Excuse me, Green Lantern, can you make a floor?
But then there was like other things he would make that were so abstract, like when Blake Lively was about to get, I think, hit by the helicopter.
Yeah.
He just put her in like a blob of goo.
Yeah. Green goo. And by the way, the superhero fucking comes out for the first time in front of a handful of people that he knows. That would be like
me coming to you. Like Hal Jordan.
Oh, there's no difference.
Exactly.
The weird thing, though, is like she calls that out later on, and this
But she's the only one who does it.
Right, but she's also seen him before, too.
But everyone at that party did.
Tim Robbins has seen him. Everybody.
Stop yelling at me.
He looked exactly like Hal Jordan. I was like, fuck you.
Blake Lively does call it out. Like, what do you think? I don't recognize you because your cheekbones are covered up. But so everyone at that party, he's the star pilot of this aeronautics facility. Yeah. The small party where they thank him from the stage. Like, and Hal Jordan's here.
All eyes were on him at one point during that night. They should know what he looks like.
I gotta say, the local press, although they're covering everything else, doesn't cover the Green Lantern.
They cover the airplane crash, but they don't cover superheroes arriving on Earth.
Well, hey guys, the news media spends their whole time talking about Anthony Weiner. And there's job loss.
Yeah, job loss at all.
We're not talking about that.
There you go.
My indictment as if like a news network today, if there was a superhero, they wouldn't report on a obviously they would.
I was only hoping there was a moment in this movie where Hal Jordan is explaining he's appealing to the Council of Elders, which are just men with big heads and giant robes. They're on top of these like 200 foot obelisks.
And when he goes in and he like tells them off, and he's been in this like Green Lantern Council for a week now, and those guys have been there for eons. Like you're supposed to believe,
they've
like billions.
They've always created this world.
And then he comes in and starts telling them like it is. I'm like,
we have a saying on Earth.
Yeah.
We're only human.
I wanted him to play the Billy Joel song at that point. I thought that would be my life. No.
That'd be good.
The Don Easter Alexa.
Oh man,
but that would be like the equivalent of like if you worked at a company for a week and then you just like barged into the board of directors meeting
and we're like, let me tell you how to run this company.
Now, Jason, I know you walked out during this movie.
I did. I walked out.
Is this your first How Did This Get Made that you
walked out on?
If you couldn't finish.
I think you walked out of something else.
I did walk out of something else. I can't remember what it was though. There was something else I didn't finish.
I just wanted to know if it was so terrible.
Oh, I think the Sandra Bullock movie, I don't think you finished, right?
Oh, All About Steve. I did not finish All About Steve.
So if Ryan Reynolds...
It is Ryan Reynolds!
But if two people have exchanged fluids, you can't watch
them. Can't deal with it.
The smoke monster, the angry cloud, Parallax, eats an entire city. No one seems fazed by that after the conclusion of the... Yeah. Basically, Hal Jordan throws the cloud into the sun. Case closed. Movie's over. But yet, he ate an entire city. By the way, I don't even know what city. They didn't really ever label
the city.
Never labeled. It was a city that had swamps, and it also had a downtown.
I was imagining when those people were running away from the smoke monster, and they were screaming, "What city is this? Why am I
identify where we are?
Before I go, I need to know."
And they all get eaten. Everyone's like totally fine with that. And did ever also did this movie look like it was shot on like soap opera sets?
Yes,
like every scene was so
completely
flat.
Like all Especially the Blake Lively's office.
Yeah.
Blake Lively's office, his apartment, Sarsgaard's apartment. It all looked like shitty sets from a TV show.
Oh my god!
They're like, great news, guys. We have a couple of extra sets that Grey's Anatomy isn't working, isn't using this week. We can shoot our scenes there.
And Days.
And
Days of Our Lives is donating to come.
The last line of the movie, pretty great. Last line for a superhero movie. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to look for trouble. I'm going to look for some trouble. After, and she goes, what are you going to do? Save a cat in downtown Milky Way? I got a new job. That's me. I gotta do a lot of traveling,
You're
though.
Just, like, angry at all of us right now.
Like, we're just like... It's the, such a stupid, stupid character.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
And he's much better. The character's much better in the...
Yeah, he's like a really... It's like a
What's
really...
his motivation, though, to, like, save things? Because that, I thought, was a big problem in the movie. Like, I didn't know... Is he looking for trouble? Like, does he genuinely want
he
to
just
help
kind
people?
Of, I don't read Green Lantern now. And now it's, like, mired in a lot of this Green Lantern core.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, all these other lanterns. There's good lanterns and bad lanterns. It's like, a very... dense book now. Like, my familiarity with it is from years ago. So I don't know.
But no, that was
he's
the
just
problem
a hero,
for me.
You know, his, essentially.
His great dilemma in this was, like, I guess Blake Lively sort of put it where she was like, just makes me so sad. You've been given so much and you haven't used any of it. And I'm like, that's who I'm supposed to care about? Like,
no,
that'd be like a rich kid who doesn't know what to invest in.
Yeah.
A rich kid who
frat
just,
to join.
Just kind of angry.
He joined a frat that he didn't like their rules.
Yes.
So he left for a few days. And
it's
was
Van
like,
Wilder. Wait, are you
Van Wilder?
You're pitching us Van Wilder?
National Lampoon's Green Lantern. we'll all be happy to know that this week it was announced that Green Lantern 2 is going into pre-production.
Dude.
Yes. Good.
I also want to say that, like,
get that
the suit looked terrible.
Suit is all CGI.
Mm-hmm. All of the CGI looked terrible. It was fucking awful looking.
Mm-hmm. It's a metaphor for the movie, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing
and
to hold on to.
And just to be clear,
to
you are a lantern and you also hold a lantern.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
And lanterns can easily be killed too, or they can't. I didn't find any power. The lantern, if you shoot a lantern, if he doesn't deflect it, he'll die.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's bullshit too. we asked this question last night. So, Jason, how much the movie cost? $200 million.
Okay.
How much has it made worldwide, do you think? $200 million. And they've greenlit a sequel.
Yeah, I think it's made close to $100 million.
You're right. $139
million. Yeah.
But that's not a lot.
Not it's so a, Green Lantern. Not,
that's worldwide.
No,
this movie
that's
is
not
a
great.
Failure, and they're greenlighting the sequel. Now, what you missed at the end was the post-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see this.
Do you want to know? You're going back to see it.
Well,
are you?
I'll see it again, of course.
Right. Of course.
What happens is
because my Green Lantern Corps and I'm part of a Green Lantern Corps, and we're all going together. I'm going to Sinestro.
Sinestro, the whole movie is a good. He's the main guy.
Mark Strong.
Basically, and all the actors in this are pretty great, like across the board. Not in this movie, and other things that they have done. Great.
Yeah.
Sinestro is the whole time is a good guy, like really funny guy, like awesome. Not funny. really nice guy.
Arguably funny.
Yeah, arguably funny. Like, and you know, he's basically at the end of the movie, he's like, hey, he saves Ryan Reynolds at the end. He's like, you know what? You're impulsive. You're crazy.
Well,
just like Abin Sur, the guy who gave him the ring.
It's basically him going like, I was arbitrarily mean to you at the beginning, now I'm going to be arbitrarily nice to you.
And then he walks off, and then the post-credit scene is he puts on the evil ring.
Yeah.
He becomes evil.
Yeah, it's such
so a... So you know that from the books?
Yeah, Sinestro is a bad guy.
He is?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's part of it.
Can I ask one more question?
Yes.
How did Peter Sarsgaard get, like, if that other guy was a Green Lantern, why did he have any fear in him?
He had
yellow
the fear,
stuff in him?
The fear that Parallax had shot him with. Remember?
So that was still
Tina
in his
Turner,
body. So that wasn't his own
Tina
fear.
Turner says, we found a different alien blood in the body of the, and you've been exposed.
I say.
I didn't like it.
And then he smashed her face into glass.
And she stuck on it. She stuck on that glass.
Amazing actor.
Angela Bassett.
Why was she doing that?
Everyone, Tim Robbins, Peter Sarsgaard.
Those superhero movies
Mark
now
Strong.
Are like the last vestige for actors who were like respected 20. Because I think it's a mutually beneficial relationship where superhero movies, they get prestige.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, I buy into this because Tim Robbins is doing
it. And
something
I think that all of them do it and they say it because they don't know what they're saying. So everyone's like, some kids will buy this bullshit. Like, you know, it's sort of like why, like, like, you know, like Sean Connery, well, when he did a, like, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he's like, yeah, these dummies will eat this up. No, it's still, it's a shitty movie. Oh, like, you're not going to... They just assume. Ah, yeah. Well, in the movie, the Green Lantern has a little poem that he has to say to get him in. So this is the poem in the movie.
Brightest day, and blackest night. No evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
That is.
I just want to say.
Yes.
I have to say, it's not a poem. It's an oath.
Okay. Sorry.
Just for the nerds. Yes. The nerds in the audience.
Sorry.
Pat Bear is listening, and he's out there going insane, losing his mind that you've called it a poem and not an oath.
What I did was
a manly poem. That's what an oath is.
In our mini episode, we asked you to come up with your own oath. So let's hear your best selections. Here we go.
You've got mail.
So I'm gonna, I circled these four and I'll pass them around. There's enough for each one of us. So, this one is from Katie Dupree. In cliche ridden dialogue, in sequel threatening epilogue, beware the mind crippling abyss that sucks you in when watching this. That's that,
sir.
That's
and then, good.
Right, here's the next one. You see all the circled ones.
Okay. This is from, Blake Hunt. Roses are red, green lanterns are not. During this movie, I asked to be shot.
Okay. This one's from Ed Cole. There once was a movie that bore. It was of the Green Lantern Corps. It had CG effects that were bad and a ridiculous Hot Wheels ad. And a ridiculous Hot Wheels ad. I hope they don't make any more.
All right, and here's the final one.
I didn't do a great job reading that.
From Jay Kane.
It's cold read. It's cold
read. Right? That's the one I'm doing? Jay Kane? No matinee nor movie night. No price is worth this sight. Let those who tell me the Green Lantern was tight beware the power of my incoming right.
Pretty good. These are good poems. Yeah. It was a good selection.
Guys. Got some
Thank you for
bad.
A lot of that. That was the most creative of the submissions. As always, you can leave comments for us on our Facebook page at How Did This Get Made. You can also check us out on Earwolf.com. Earwolf.com as now blogging. There are blogs to be had in a brand new version of the Earwolf application for your iPhone is coming out. But definitely check out those blogs. People are doing it. It's getting good. Getting cool. There you go. That's a little plug for that. You can follow myself on Twitter. I'm at Paul Scheer. Paul, where are you at?
I'm at Paul Rust.
At Miss June Diane.
Jason, still not on
Twitter. Not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter. But you want to plug anybody?
I will continue to plug Bob Dukas' Twitter.
Bob Dukas' Twitter, real good. And
yes,
and coming up next week on Adult Swim, following Children's Hospital, a show that Jason is a producer on and has been on and written on, is a show that June and I are in, and it's called NTSF SD SUV.
Yeah.
So check that out, July 21st, 12:15 p.m., right after Children's Hospital. A lot of crazy good guests on there. So we'll see you next time on How Did This Get Made?
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.